KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. How you gents doing?
Doing well. All things considered, it's a good Monday, and You know, Mondays are Mondays, but they aren't too bad.
Do you have a case of the Mondays?
A case of the Mondays? Yeah, maybe. Nah, it's not too. It's not so bad. But
How much has caffeine saved you from your case for the Mondays?
It was vital.
Okay.
Did not. While I got sleep last night, it wasn't the best sleep ever. So, was
oh, really?
But yeah.
Do tell. No. So, if you're tuning in for the first time, we are a geek-centric talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara. We talk about
space
and Mondays and tech stuff.
Like drones, especially. Jason loves his drones.
And 3D printing.
Yeah, especially for you. 3D printed drones.
You missed out last week. A 3D printed drone story.
But.
It's only been made out of graphene.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. But speaking of, like, you know, missing out, thinking you're missing out of last week's show, you're not, because, Caleb, how can they re-experience that for the first time?
If you want to re-experience it for the first time, you can go to robotsattack.me. That is one place where you get that's where you get everything Robots Attack. You can find links to our prior episodes, show notes, and our social pages links. You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Let us know what you think of the things we talk about. Give us your input. The show is that much better when you participate.
That's right. And, you know, if you're driving, don't do that stuff now, but, you know, do it, you know, when you can.
Hand it off to your passenger. Let them do it, you know. But
yeah, a lot of times our news stories have cool pictures and videos, so you can go check out the links there. Or, you know, we'll say stuff and you'll be like, I totally disagree with that. And you'll want to, you know, tell us what you think. Or you're like, I totally agree with that. I want to tell you that you're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are the ways you can do it. And if you're like, you know, I want to see what these guys take pictures of. Well, we also have
Instagram. It's so new. I almost forgot about it. New to us, that is. It's the Robots Attack Instagram account.
We're pioneering.
Yeah.
Breaking new ground in photo sharing.
Yes. But yeah, we took a bunch of pictures from the Silicon Valley Comic Con. So, you know, when we check out places or see some cool things, we'll post the photos there. So, but gents, how have you been since last we spoke? You do anything cool? See anything? Play anything? Read anything? Drive anywhere cool? Like,
one of the coolest things that I actually did this weekend was I spent some time on Free Code Camp. Which, if you don't know what that is, code camps are places where you have experts sit down for an intensive period of time, like usually like 3 to 6 months, and they try and take you from 0 to 60 in terms of turning into a web or application developer. And most of these, because they're hiring experts in their fields, are expensive, which is not a knock on them. It's just a fact. Expertise comes with cost and all that stuff. So a lot of other people have thought, well, there's got to be other ways of getting the vitals of the information out there and getting people involved in helping each other out. And that's kind of the open source ethos. And so a gent started a open source project called Free Code Camp, where they brought together, they bootstrapped it themselves. Like, he started off writing most of it himself. And then as more people got onto the project because it was exciting, It's now much bigger. They have, and they're, it's basically sustaining itself now on what they're doing, on all the elements of the site. And one of the cool things that they do, besides like being a really well structured set of courses in web development, is that part of your completion of the section of the camp is to produce a product for an open source a charity of some sort, nonprofit. So there is actual good being done on both sides, and that's, and the site is really well designed in the fact that you can actually do pretty much everything from a smartphone if that's your access. Like, there's a number of people that he said got a message from a group out in some of the more remote areas of India that is their computer, but they've found a way to actually complete all get their certification because of.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was my main, like, well, this is actually really cool.
We should post some links or something about.
Yeah.
People want to check it out. So is this something that happens every once in a while, or is it an ongoing thing? Or?
The site runs ongoing.
Okay.
They have a chat room, and they have whole groups of chat rooms. A lot of people run their own Facebook pages. A lot of people do coffee and code, where they say, everyone in, you know, this local area, meet at this particular coffee shop, bring your laptop, we'll sit around and code and talk story and stuff. And it's a really, because the founder, like, one of his core values is, like, community is what helps push projects forward. You can have a really good project, and it can sustain, and it can be popular, be sustained, but without a community around it to, like, rally to it, support it, and get others on board, it kind of just sits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, you know, by emphasizing community as a core value of what it is, like, it helps perpetuate the idea of giving back to community and having community be a focus. And
it's like Robots Attack. I mean, we're better with the community.
That's right. That's right. So please participate. As open source is better when you participate, so is the show. We're kind of in a similar place.
Yeah, and if you go and check this place out, tell them Robots Attack sent you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Like, who's that? I'll be like, psh, you don't know.
Well, let us tell you.
Yeah.
We're kind of like open broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
Open source broadcasting something?
Sort of, yeah.
We'll figure how to monetize ourselves better as far as that goes.
So what have you been up to, Jason?
Well, before Jason gets into that.
What's up?
Would you like to know about some talking art?
Oh, yes, please. Sure.
Okay, then read about it.
Well, since you asked, join the San Jose Institute for Contemporary Art Sunday, March 15th for Talking Art, artist panel discussion for a stimulating conversation with artists featuring Demarcat.
Are you sure that was March? Is it say March or is it May?
Did I say March? I meant May 15th.
Okay, just make sure, because March is 15th has passed.
Yes, yes. It's May 15th. At the San Jose,
your time machine.
San Jose Institute for Contemporary Art. It's going to be a panel discussion. The panelists will discuss their work and the issues explored in the exhibition. Independent curator and writer Christian L. Frock will moderate the panel. For more information, visit sjica.org.
Yeah, we like to prove here that our PSAs are 100% live, so... That's why we throw little twists like that in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Elf Rock. I thought I said Elf Rock. Like, Elf Rock.
Elf Rock!
But speaking of Elf Rock, Jason, what have you been up to?
I was listening to nothing but Elf Rock all weekend. No, I ended up doing one of the, like, freebie pass things for, I believe, Stars. I can't remember, one of the different movie services. And so I ended up watching a ton of movies over the weekend. Uh-huh. And I ended up catching up on a bunch of them that I'd been meaning to see for a long time. The first of which was Tomorrowland, which I've heard you speak wonders about.
I don't know about wonders, but I liked it. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. And I also caught Fury. I'm like a big World War II kind of fan.
That was the one with the tank, Brad Pitt as a tank commander, right?
Right, exactly. Okay. And what was the last one? Oh, Ant-Man. I finally ended up watching that also.
Okay.
So yeah,
just in time. Captain America is coming up pretty soon. So.
Yeah, it's funny. I did not expect, since I had no idea what all of the little tag endings on that were, it was like, oh, wow, this is exactly what I needed to watch right now.
Yeah.
Prepare for Civil War.
Right. I don't know if that spoilers me saying that or not, but anyway. If you haven't seen Ant-Man, at least fast forward it to the end so you can see all of the stuff that will prepare you.
Because the rest of it is garbage.
Well, I didn't say that. I'm just saying, if you want to be fully prepared. So, yeah. And it is, I was expecting a lot of the stuff to be kind of like shoehorned together in order and feeling forced and whatnot whenever they tried to incorporate the bigger universe into the Ant-Man stuff. And I really liked how pleasantly everything fit together. It's like I was not expecting to like the little Falcon fight. I don't have you guys seen this or no?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm. Saw it in the theater.
Uh-huh.
The bell rings.
Right.
The bell.
I saw it in the theater. Ding, ding. Yes. Joe, you were right.
For thee.
But what about you, Caleb? Have you seen Ant-Man yet?
I actually have not seen Ant-Man yet.
So
fast forward
it
to the end.
Because the rest of it is garbage.
You got to see it before Civil War.
Yeah, I'll see if it's still on Redbox or anything like that. Check it out.
Or do like me and do one of the free like preview things.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to work pretty well. They're short, but I mean, if you are ready for a weekend of nothing but movies, then it's pretty nice.
Or rent it from any number of streaming services.
No renting. That requires money.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, the Tomorrowland, I thought, when they were actually in Tomorrowland, I loved all of the design of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the big fixer robots were really cool looking.
They are cool looking.
I love whenever they kind of temper the retro futuristic stuff together. The overall story felt a little bit underwhelming to me. I was confused about the motivation of the bad guy. Severely.
The movie is not without its flaws, but it is fun to watch.
Yeah. And it's weird. Like, I can't even talk about what I consider its flaws without ruining the ending, and that's what's so difficult about it, too. But it's got some neat themes to it. I appreciate what it was trying to go for,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like it kind of was fighting itself with those themes at the very end.
In some ways, yeah. I did like the overall effects and design work of the movie. Like the visually, it was, I thought, really well put together. I liked that.
Yeah. Yeah. I if you're into all of the futuristic stuff, definitely check it out. Don't go in necessarily just for the story. Then Fury. I heard a lot of people complain that the story was no good on it. To me, it was a war movie. I don't know.
What are you expecting by a Tink Commander?
Right. I mean, it's just a retelling of a plausible situation. And I've never understood when people are super critical of war movies, because I don't know what they expected the story to be. Some sweeping romance or something like that. I don't know.
People have strange expectations sometimes.
But as far as a war movie goes, it was really solid. It definitely packs a lot of the punch with the heartstrings when you end up having people not necessarily do well in certain situations, and then the opposite when they do incredibly well in situations, which it's kind of the good signature of those movies,
mm.
is when it makes you feel like, hey, somebody really can like do something against all odds. So yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I thought Brad Pitt's performance was really good. I was really surprised. I think it's the first time I've ever liked Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
I don't know it, and yeah, he was basically just this gruff guy that he was sort of picked on in the group because he was like a little bit more religious than the rest of the guys.
Mm.
And so it was kind of neat having sort of that back and forth where he's just like, okay, yeah, I know you guys aren't going to see it the same way as me, but hey, whatever. Just
give me a chance here.
Well, it's not even necessarily like him trying to fight it or anything like that. It's like, I know how you guys are.
Yeah.
Where would you put Ant-Man? And with the other Marvel cinematic movies, would you put it on the lower end, the middle, or more towards the top?
I'd probably put it on the lower end, but not by terrible much. I thought it was pretty decent. I ended up actually kind of wishing that I would have seen it in full screen, like in a movie theater, because I feel like a lot of the big, small, like, swap-offs would have been a little bit more hard-hitting if I actually had a big screen in front of me.
Mm.
Higher or lower than Thor 2?
I actually kind of liked that. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Higher or lower. You can put it where either side of it.
I'd put it about the same. I mean, to me, the lowest one personally is the first Captain America, and that's just because it has like really super comic-y moments to it. Like when they start breaking out the laser guns, it kind of loses a lot of the super reality edge that most of the other movies have kind of used as a pretty reliable hallmark.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of had to do that because it was all about the laser weapons, kind of. But it felt weird.
Mm.
That there's a bunch of stuff that I really like about that movie too.
Mm-hmm.
So this one I like better than that one. I probably put it about the same as either one of the Thor movies. I know a lot of people have problems with both of those also. It's not a super remarkable movie, but I felt like a lot of the stuff worked pretty well. I
heard Paul Rudd was quite good.
Okay, what I liked about Paul Rudd was he wasn't overly Rudd. I don't know how to put it better than that. It's like, you know, when people kind of saturate all of their characters with themselves, and it feels like, okay, that's cool that you're good at this character, but can you do anything a little bit different?
Mm.
I feel like by cranking back on that and letting some of the other characters shine a little bit more, it actually kind of defeated that problem in a lot of ways.
There you go.
He still gets some ruddy lines in there, but it's not just completely saturated with his sense of humor and kind of his shtick. So I liked it a lot. I liked all of the side characters except for one, because again, it went back to straight as like completely comic-y, over the top. The Russian hacker guy, I was just like, oh dude, you need to shut up. Just shut up. You're trying too hard to be Russian. Just
going too far.
Maybe there are, I don't know if I've never heard an accent that is that like stereotypical. I don't know.
Hmm.
But he was trying really hard. Maybe the guy's really Russian. I probably should have checked that.
Let us know out there if you know.
Right. Maybe it was the most authentic Russian accent.
Yeah, that guy's actually Russian.
Right. And I just have no idea what I'm talking about. But still, tone it down.
Bit much.
But yeah, I liked. It was also interesting seeing the same actor in both Ant-Man and in Fury, sort of the Latin or Latino sidekick guy. He ends up playing sort of the driver in Fury, And he was a little bit less remarkable in Fury, but I really liked him in Ant-Man. I thought he was really cool. And I'm anxious to see if he ends up showing up in the future movies at all. It would be nice to have. It was nice letting him be funnier than Paul Rudd at times. I think that made me happy. But I like the actor a lot, too. I need to start paying attention to his name, for one. But yeah, everything that I've seen him in, I've been really impressed. I think he's really, like, he's got a cool personality and a cool style to him. And even in the roles where he's actually starred in it, I should have paid better attention to him. But I enjoyed it a lot.
Very good.
Well, here's something else you can enjoy, especially like ways to enjoy us or other shows on KSEU. If you want to listen to KSEU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSEU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And of course, we have a pro tip for you out there.
Find us faster by searching for our call letters, KSCU. They are unique to us on the globe.
That's right. So we hope.
Well, that's sort of the purpose of call letters.
Well, you never know. There might be someplace in an alternate reality or a 3D
drone
world.
Dimension hop, anything is possible. Just ask the Fantastic Four.
I stopped asking them anything a long time ago.
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah. So how about you, Joe? Did you get anything?
Well, speaking of comic books,
yes.
I picked up the first book of Why the Last Man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And I'm about halfway through it so far right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
so why is he the last man?
Well, nice. That's part of the mystery.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, the book came out in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So. It does.
I remember the hubbub when it came out, and yeah, it was a big deal back then. Was nobody pays attention to it now.
No,
but you're bringing it back.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Something like that.
But it does these cool things where it'll like with the first issue, and it does in others. It'll do like a, it'll, you know, say the name of the city wherever it's taking place or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it'll be like, now or half an hour ago or, you know, 2 hours ago kind of thing. And it'll kind of jump. And like, it does that for the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like it starts off and it has now, and it's just, it throws you right in of like something set, like all these people going like, something's happened to all the men. Like they're dying. Like, something's just going crazy. And mm-hmm. then like it kind of the last sort of panel of that is like, a cop, and she's got like her gun to her head, and just is like, I can't help you. And like, and then it goes, mm-hmm. it cuts to like, I forget if it was an hour ago or something like that, like an hour before mm-hmm. everything happened. So like, and then it kind of slowly gets like closer and closer to
the
like,
event
now, the mm-hmm. event. And then,
when who's the writer on it? Do you know?
Brian K. Vaughan.
Brian K. Vaughan, okay. Yeah. And then when it catches up to now, it does this really cool thing where the concept of it is something happens and all the men on Earth, at least that's so far mm-hmm. what is, all die.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just left with women. So anyone with a Y chromosome dies, basically, right. Including animals. Like, it,
oh,
like
wow.
everything male just dies.
Oof.
Huh.
So it's like, it's, you think about that for a second and you know, and you're like, okay, whoa, you know, that's pretty crazy. Uh-huh. But then it does this really cool thing where it has a page and it lists and it gives you like percentages
mm-hmm.
of, and you have to remember why I brought this up, like 2002, mm-hmm. some of these things may be different, but,
mm-hmm.
I should have brought it with me so I could actually read them, but it would give percentages of like how many like percentage of women or men like do X,
okay.
do Z, like how many are this type of worker, how many are do this, and it starts to kick in, like, holy crap, if all the men died,
mm-hmm.
how much stuff, like, would stop working, like, wouldn't work? And it brings up that question. It's not I'm not trying to say, like, oh, you know, haha, men are better, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's just here's these facts, like,
right. Symbiosis,
the percentage, if
the state of affairs,
yeah, mm-hmm. if all the things, like, it makes you start to question, like, we should take a look at this, like,
put a little more balance into this statistic.
Yeah, but when I read that page, mm-hmm. it really started to click, because you kind of have, you know, especially if you're into sci-fi and fantasy, you get sort of used to concepts, mm-hmm. you know, that are thrown at, like, oh, you know, Battlestar Galactica or this, like, oh, on this, you know, like, this happens with this, so this is this world. When it's this where it's in our world, and it's, you know, it's Earth, it's not, you know, another dimension or a thing. As far as I know, you know, it's all taken here in the real time.
That's Brian K. Vaughan's secret. He just,
yeah,
well, like, who sends knows? Cameras there's, into other dimensions.
Maybe he's a world hopper. We just don't know it.
Yeah. But when it started giving those facts, and then after that page, then, like, it jumps like 2 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And then you slowly kind of start to think, like, it sees, like, there's no, there might be some, but at least kind of where this is, like, there's no pilots. There's okay. no, like, there's all these things of, like, oh, we can't take this, and remember, it's like, it's just 2 months ahead. So, mm-hmm. and it's like, we can't take these freeways because it's all jam packed and all the guys are dead. So all the cars are all crashed. They're all backed up in here. Mm-hmm. So, and it's something that makes you think too. It's like, if you knew someone, like, who had an ability, mm-hmm. but they weren't able to pass that, teach someone, they die, it could be lost. Like, mm-hmm. so it makes you think, like, well, okay, you know, all the men suddenly die. Like, well, even if there were, like, 1,000 female pilots,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
the entire Earth, like, all the men died. So that's, like, nothing, you know? Like, it makes you really think, like, of the impact,
mm-hmm.
Of just all the, like, stuff we take for granted.
Right.
Like, that is required to make things work. And it's, again, it's like, I'm not trying to stress this thing of, like, men are the only ones that can do these things.
But
it's
at
just,
this point in time, the proportion just, was so high that...
And it probably still is. It's just, mm-hmm, I just want to go on record. It's like, the comic is, it's 2002, so the percentage of things that it does give reflect that. So maybe some things are higher now, but...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just, it's really interesting, and it goes into, like, cool concepts, and it follows this guy named Yurik, and he has a helper monkey that he was training before, and he's, like, into escape artist and magician kind of things.
Okay.
And but yeah, and his monkey Ampersand is also a male.
Yes.
So
his name is Monkey Ampersand.
Yeah. So he and the monkey Ampersand are so far the only males left, like,
okay.
in the world. And so, and it's just, yeah, it just gives, it's just really cool, like, so far, all the different stuff kind of it's brought up, and, like,
mm-hmm.
even certain things of him, like, trying to, like, you'd think if you were the last guy, like, in your situation, like, how would you be, like, he goes into hiding, like, he wears a gas mask, like, mm-hmm. like, when it first starts out, and you just kind of say, like, oh, okay, yeah, would you hide, mm-hmm. like, how would you, I mean, you're the only guy, you know, it's 2 months later, so at that point, you kind of have an idea of, like, mm-hmm. either there's, you know, no guys left anywhere, or, you know, something to the extent, but mm-hmm. but yeah, it was just interesting. It was like, man, what would you do? Because it was they would start to introduce groups that were like completely happy that all the guys died, mm-hmm. some that aren't, and some that are like, hey, I could totally sell you. You're like, you know,
a commodity.
Yeah. And like, you're also just like, you're the last dude. So you're valuable in the sense mm-hmm. for that. Mm-hmm. I can trade you for food. Because that was one of the other things they mentioned too, was like a bunch of the farming, a lot of things were, it was like mostly, it was, they gave, damn, I wish I had that page, but yeah, it was just all the effects where you kind of don't think about it mm-hmm. and it maybe we should,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of raises that question. Like there should be more,
right.
Like you said, more diversity in mm-hmm. these, but yeah, it was just, it's just been really cool. Like the different characters he's come across and kind of how he's, reacting to the situation where, he sort of he'll try to stand up for himself and then, but it, I don't know. It's
a strange situation
worth checking out. Yeah. I highly recommend it so far. Like I said, like halfway through the first book, I think there's like 6 books and this first book's like 250 pages. So
Yeah, I remember it went on for quite a while.
Yeah. I think it stopped in 2008. I think when I was looking at it, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And they even like just recently threw in another little thing that I didn't even think about. And it started to make me wonder like, oh, wait, would they be like, I don't want to say because it'll spoil something, but, mm-hmm. but yeah, like, oh, would it affect them? Holy crap. Wait, what, how would they? Oh, and then yeah, just like, how do we get people back from, oh wait, what, how do you get someplace? Like,
yeah,
they were having to use, like a diesel train in one section. It was like, yeah, we got these to work. So, getting to different places, like it's all trade stuff. So it's like sort of this weird post-apocalyptic, but without like bombs being dropped or like a zombie virus per se. It's just all the guys died. It's like something caused all the guys to die. And so that was the apocalypse. So it's just kind of a neat twist to it instead of, like I said, zombies or aliens or.
So the T virus, it's something else. There you go.
The Y virus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could be. It's like, well, down. We have only like, you know, 4, 5, 6 more volumes to figure out.
Yeah. I'll have to come back when I've read some more and see how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if it loses its steam, like, ah, it was really good then, but now it's just kind of gone to rubbish. But
I remember at one point, a few people were kind of like, were towards the end of its run, they were like, so where does the story end? Like, not sure where it's going to go. But I think that's the thing, is probably because he might have written himself into a bit of a corner at that point, which sounds a little bit like another writer that we know whose names are George and Martin with a couple of R's in the middle.
Yeah.
With a couple of pirates.
Speaking of that, Game of Thrones last night premiered.
And I assume you watched.
Yes.
Good.
It was good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was good. Okay. I think they were taking advantage too. They're like, oh, look, HBO Now is on Xbox One. Oh,
right,
look, you can get a free month trial.
Uh-huh. Like,
trying to get
that's
like,
next.
Oh.
I'm like a season and a half behind right now, I think. So
okay. You'll catch up quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can catch up.
Yeah, I remember seeing one of the people I follow on Twitter rather impressed, like, wow, there's actually several scenes in this episode that passed the Bechdel test.
Oh.
I was like, oh, curious what that was like.
Have you watched any of the show? Or?
No, I actually haven't seen any of the show. I've seen pictures. I've seen like GIFs, but not really seen an actual episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you have to have legally, you have to have HBO.
Right.
Maybe, you know,
yeah.
Or some or, service therein.
Yeah. Or rent them or something like that.
Right, right.
But yeah, I was just curious if he ever ended up, because you've read the books. So.
Mm-hmm. I've read the books, yeah. Yeah, I'd be interested in checking it out. I haven't got around to it yet.
He just really dislikes Peter Dinklage. That's what it is. You haven't heard him go off on him. It's like, oh man, I'm so glad he's not the ghost in freaking Destiny
miss you, Dinklebot.
Anymore. Just nonstop with this guy.
Man. Yeah.
Well, speaking of sorry, was I too real there?
Too much real.
Well, speaking of things you can stream, should we jump into the watch party next, or do you have something else you wanted to bring up?
Well, we should play some music, and then we'll come back with the watch party.
That is an excellent idea.
But why don't you tell them about the watch party?
The watch party is...
they're probably like, what? Watch what? Is there a party going on? I'll watch that.
Yeah, there's a party going on down here. No, it's the watch party is where we... delve into a show, movie eventually, but we're currently still in shows. This week, or this sort of season, so to speak, we're doing the second season of Daredevil on Netflix. So that's what we'll be talking about when we come back from the music break. If you have seen it and want to participate with us, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme.
Yeah. But the idea behind it is... Mm-hmm. You watch an episode with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're not, don't, if you've watched the entire season, we don't want to hear about that. We're watching it episode by episode, week by week.
Yeah. Right. Please keep
we're
it to episode four.
Right.
If you're going to make comments, not because we don't care about the rest of it, we'll get there, but we're going to be talking just exclusively episode four.
Yeah. Cause the idea is we watch it all, you know, we watch it together, quote unquote, you know, we're not actually
collectively
all watching it. Yeah. And then, but we don't watch anything further that way, you know, nothing else that happens taints any ideas that we may have for future stuff and, you know, just gets good discussions. And then at the end, you know, we'll wrap it up, talk about the whole thing like with previous shows that we've watched.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. It's book club for video stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Video club. Watch club party.
Yeah. And you can be a part of it. And speaking of things that you can be a part of, if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit, is building a community network to help find a loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. You can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org. We'll look for them on Facebook. All right. We'll take that aforementioned music break. And then come back with a watch party here on KCU Santa Clara. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara. We're now going to jump into the watch party.
Yeah!
We're going to be discussing the episode 4, season 2 of Daredevil. Alright, so...
So yeah, stuff happened.
Yeah.
Quite a bit actually happens in this episode.
Yeah.
It felt like the end of the entire series.
Yeah, honestly, I was like, wow, this is... I was not... This is the end of this story. Okay, wait. This is episode 4.
Yeah.
There's 11 more episodes to come. What's going on? Or 10 more episodes. It was like, what?
I'm very curious, like, will we end up seeing more of the Punisher? And if we do, like, how much? Mm-hmm. Like, because, I mean, he's arrested, essentially.
Right.
But they and do throw in those, like, they start to weave in that the people in black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the...
I don't want to say Men in Black because I think there was actually a woman and a man.
Right.
So. Yeah. But the suits, as they call them,
suits,
black.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that. It was actually. I thought it was one of the more. One of the better tellings of the character and background of Frank Castle that I've seen in most of these movies. I'm like, huh, or one of these kinds of shows. Like, oh, like.
But there's still a lot left.
It feels really
unanswered, and I hope there's more. I feel like they're probably going to spend a decent chunk of time still on his character. But
I suspect so. But it was interesting that they actually. Granted, this came with a lot of expositional dialogue,
right?
But I felt, it was interesting because it really did feel like the character was like. Expressing a lot in the moment. I'm like, oh, this
view of Frank Castle as a far more sympathetic person than I was expecting this character to be.
Okay.
And I was just really curious. I was just really surprised that they well, not so much surprised, because the Daredevil show's done a really good job of humanizing characters, even though they're despicable or or vicious. Like, you find a reason to be like, oh, this I kind of want this character to win, even though this is really a horrible thing. I felt like the treatment.
D'Onofrio really got to you, is what I'm.
Was Kingpin the real hero to you?
Right. I never liked this Daredevil guy.
He's just mean.
Yeah, the guy just trying to rebuild the city.
Yeah,
I'm like, come on.
Yeah, come on. But yeah, it was interesting because they clearly the Irish mob and Frank Castle, like, there's some connection.
Yeah,
but they never
some
like
history there. Yeah,
yeah, they never specifically, because even the guy, like, you know, he's asking, like, he wants to know, you know, the last thing is like, who was there?
Who killed my family? Yeah,
you know, like, so there's still like, you get the idea. Something involving the Irish mob, something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's no, like,
nothing clicks together.
No, yeah, resolution.
Nothing,
yeah.
Nothing specific yet. Like, well, why did suddenly his family get killed? Like, you know, there's that mystery was still there. But then, you know, when he tells that really touching story about his daughter, and, like, which I thought was just really good. Like,
yeah.
You know, telling the story about, you know, with the rhyme that he would say, and then just, you know, about the war, and then his daughter, and then, like, you just feel it the last few sentences when he, you know, and just like, and then, you know, I'm just holding her lifeless body in my hand, or, you know, holding her for the last time. Like, you get, okay, something happened, like,
yeah,
to you know, his family. So there's some connection. It's like enough that you get, like, okay, he's going after them for some kind of revenge, but there's still, you know, there's still some why, there's still some, you know, and then again, the when Karen's starting to uncover more, when she speaks to that guy, I guess former sort of orderly or janitor or something, about, you know, it took him to his house, but then there was these people that showed up while he was there, and he just kind of came back to life, like he just
yeah, they pulled the plug on him and he didn't totally die. Yeah, it's like whoa. Yeah,
which the guy is careful to say also that I guess sometimes that just happens in real life.
I mean, it does. Yeah, it does happen. So yeah, it makes you raise the question of, like, yeah, is it one of those instances where
it just
does
happened
happen,
or was
something
there something more?
Else? Yeah.
Yeah,
which is cool.
A lot of questions, but it still feels like it filled in a lot of blanks around, like, who is the man that is Frank Castle opposed to who is the Punisher? And, like, but you also, with all that, it's like, oh, that's how you get to the place where he's on the roof talking to the Daredevil going, yeah, you know, these people are not good people. Like, none of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you start to kind of see, it's like, it sort of drives home where he's coming from. And I thought this was one of the better ones they've done, quite a better episodes I've seen in a while.
And then it did almost another little twist of, I mentioned, like, in the first episode where it's like, oh, you know, this whole group of, like, the Irish mob guys or something, you know, like, okay, these are going to be, like, the big bad guys, and they all get gunned down. They kind of do a little similar thing at the funeral, and a guy shows up, you know, and you think, like, oh, this one guy is kind of the head. And then the one that shows up just ends up killing him, takes him out, and he's like, nope, you know, I'm in charge. All right, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
Like,
and then you start going, everyone's okay with it. Yeah, we're all cool with it, bro.
I will say that, I will ask, maybe I missed it, but it did,
oh,
it did seem
it.
A little, like, when that guy showed up, then it was like, where did they know, like, who to ask? That's where, because they were like, they had a few scenes where they went to, I guess, people that Frank Castle interacted with and were like, we know about this guy in the coat. Like, how did they know, like, people to talk to?
I think it was more along the lines of that they knew that he had to have been getting certain armament from different places and they had to have geared up. Like, especially since they'd been to his place and gotten the dog and seen what his setup was, seeing all the types of stuff that he had, they kind of had an idea of what sort of black market people to be talking to.
But I thought they went to his place after they
Yeah, that was the culmination
people.
After.
Yeah.
And I suspect the impression I got was that they were, because like the mob has knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy kind of thing, like through that chain of events, they found people that actually had seen the guy in the jacket walk into this pet store and walk out of this pet store. And
okay. Yeah, it just sort of threw me off that like they weren't doing that before. Like it took like this one guy to show up and then, but I mean, it's not really like a super fault. I was just kind of curious. It felt, I don't want to say sloppy, but it just felt like suddenly like they were knowing kind of people to talk to. Like they suddenly knew more when the previous episodes, he was like this complete mystery. And it was just like, okay. But it wasn't enough where I was like, ah, this episode's garbage. It was just kind of like, all right.
It was sort of a plot contrivance as opposed to a natural flow.
But. Yeah, which was why I asked, like, did I miss something? Like, maybe it was, but.
Yeah, my suspicion is that they were trying to tie that back to his earlier activities before we get to the first episode of season two. I think that's kind of where they were trying to go with it, but that part was not quite as clear as it could have been, so.
But this episode did do, when we were discussing about like, you know, Daredevil's motivations and Punisher's motivations, kind of like where they fit in this world. Like, it was interesting to hear like from the cop I forget his name, but the one, you know, that's kind of been, they've been talking to, getting information from, that like Foggy.
It's
would,
like a popular name.
Yeah.
Too.
Would get like, you know, tips from like, hey, what's going on, you know, and him, you know, kind of saying like both of you guys, like you're making us like seem like worthless.
Yeah, you're
like,
taking another picture. Yeah,
we can't, like, we can't do our job, you know, like right. We're, you know, no one's afraid, like no one, I don't want to say like fears us, but no one like respects us like to do the job, because
we're just cleaning up after you two making heck in the in the neighborhood.
And it was interesting that like that sort of clicked in with Daredevil, and you know, at the end when he, you know, gets the police to come and show up, it's just like
that he needs to stop taking the credit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was through like the cop to realize like, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this anymore, you know, like,
or
I
find a different way to do this. Sergeant Brett Mahoney is the was the guy they've been kind
Mahoney
of,
there you go.
Yeah, been used as however many cop names over the centuries.
I am curious too, like what the time frame of, because when Karen goes to Frank Castle's house, like it's still, I mean, it doesn't look like it's been that long. Like I'm curious too, what the time frame is between whatever happened and, you know, this incident, because it still looks like, and I mean, it doesn't look like, we sold the house or anything like that, but it's still like nothing's boxed up.
There's something weird there. There's something.
We don't know how long he was in the hospital, for one thing.
There's going to be some twist to the story, because right now nothing quite fits together. Like, the timing seems off for everything. Like, why would he have just gotten back from a tour and have all of this stuff happen so suddenly? If there was some sort of drama with him and some sort of backstory with the Irish mob, like, where would it have come from if he's literally been gone? There's something else that's a missing link that pulls this all together that we haven't seen yet, it seems to me.
Or there's been, or if there is a gap between him coming back and, you know, his family getting taken out, like, it hasn't been explained, like, if there's been a chunk of time in that, like
something about the way that he was talking made it sound to me like he had just gotten back from like literal war. So,
oh yeah, you know, you're right. He does mention when he yeah, because he was going to tell her the story the next day, but then he wasn't able to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it. There are some timeline gaps that need to be filled in, and I'm sure will be filled in as we get closer to the end of the series. But
I think the key to everything is going to be the black suits, but I don't know how that's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because either they're going to be the ones that are going to get him out of jail, quote unquote, or out of, you know, like put into their custody,
right,
from the police.
As far as story goes, I think we're probably going to end up getting a lot more of it just because, I mean, they're lawyers, so now they have sort of the perfect big name case to adopt. So
right.
Yeah.
That's probably going to happen. I'm guessing that's where they're going to get the bulk of their information for at least the next episode or two, but I don't know.
And I just knew it, too, when, like... Uh-huh. You know, towards the end of the episode when, like, Karen and Matt finally, like, kiss.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, like, he's like, okay, you know, I've given up being Daredevil. Like, things are looking up pretty good. I'm like, all right, I know this episode has to end on something bad. Like, it just always, you know.
Or at the very least, something that's unexpected. We definitely got that.
We got it in the form of Elektra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Elektra.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, too, because, you know, it implies that she knows him. Like, you know, I mean, you know, obviously, before we got into the show, you know, did Caleb's Corner. We did backstories on the characters. So, you know, in the comics.
Yeah, they have history.
They have a history together.
Well, yeah, and there's a giant chunk of his training that we still haven't had filled in. So I assume that's going to plug a nice little chunk into his backstory that explains some stuff also.
Yeah. Speaking of some of the training thing, like he got the new like helmet and like reinforced like gloves or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. When he got that stuff, it just reminded me of like, oh, it's like he's playing an RPG or something.
Yeah.
It's upgraded.
Bloop. These gloves are +1 resistance to cracking and damage. And +1 to damage.
I just wish they showed up on the character.
The model's always the same.
You can barely see them. They look so cool in the loadout. Yeah, I love that guy's his mechanics. Sort of workroom to all of the random crud that's laying around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you guys noticed there's in the background a weird piece of like chest plate and then like metal pants.
I saw those. I'm like, I know I should recognize those, but I couldn't put them together.
I was like, is that some sort of like weird, lame villain guy that he worked for or something like that? And I looked it up and sure enough, I guess there was a villain way back when called Stiltman.
Yes, Stiltman. I don't know why I didn't.
And so, I'm really wondering if they're going to end up at some point having a Stiltman or if it was just like
nod,
him brainstorming or what.
It might have been just a nod because like they do a lot of
Easter egg thing. Yeah. They'll do a lot of that stuff. I've been like really enjoying this. Like it's kept my, like I've been like, I want to watch the next episode, but I can't. I have to wait till we have the discussion that I can watch.
It's funny, like I wasn't really psyched about finding out about Elektra, but the timing of it for me, it was perfect for me to be like, I'm really interested to see where this goes next.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and it's funny, and just like the brief moment you see her on camera, it says a lot about her character, just the ease with which she exists in the space occupied by Matt Murdock. It's like, this is going to be interesting. You don't know what's going on, but you know it's going to be interesting.
As much as I like the actress who played Elektra in the one and only Elektra movie that is not a good movie. But as much as I like her,
Jennifer Gardner?
Yeah, yes. Jennifer Gardner does not fit anywhere near as well as this actress does. Because, yeah, it's like you said, just, I'm Elektra, deal with it.
Yeah.
She inhabits that character skin quite nicely.
Yeah, Jennifer Gardner is just way too, there's still, no matter how attractive she is, she still has this little fine line of girl next door that does not fit with, like, a master assassin. That I can tell, at least. Maybe, I don't know that many master assassins, so maybe they all look like the girl next door.
It's always
that
when you
would
suspect.
Be actually well, good in, so.
I mean, it depends on your, what you want out of a master assassin. I mean, if you want your assassin to blend in, then having your assassin look like the girl next door is a good thing to be. But if that's not really your thing...
Yeah, it's like James.
I don't know. That would work out the other way around with me. Like, if I see somebody that's like too cool for school, I kind of dismiss them. It's like, well, they're not going to have anything to do with me, so no point in like even paying attention to them. But a girl next door type, okay, you can have a conversation with this person. So yeah,
and that's
just me. Though.
That's when she walks up and. Stabs you or poisons
right, cause
you.
Right, because I have done horrible, horrible things and deserve assassination.
And that's the master assassin.
Oh, right.
But yeah, I'm... Episode 5, you have my attention.
Yeah.
Okay.
This one didn't have a lot of Foggy in it. That was one thing.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the heart was missing from it.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but... But yeah, this was one I noticed. He didn't play as much of a role in this one, which makes sense. This was
I totally did not call that. I thought he was he was gonna be what pulled it all together, but no.
He was the one that was gonna broker the bromance between Punisher and Daredevil.
The bromance broker. That's pretty good. I like that. That's like a business name right there. We gotta patent that.
What you were gonna say?
Oh, okay. I know they've been waiting for the moment for a long time for the two to kind of fall in love or to have their moment. Was I the only one who felt like it was a little bit heavy-handed or no?
I don't know. It's one of the things like they've been hinting at it for so long that having a little more time for the payoff isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Okay. Okay,
I mean, like you got it was Foggy had a thing.
There were a few seconds there where I was like, "Is this going to turn into an Herbal Essences commercial?" It's like any second now. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they also might have been playing up the fact that since sight is something that he mostly has but doesn't literally have.
Right.
It's playing up the extra senses that he would probably be employing to enjoy the moment, but I don't know.
Okay.
Is that what you were referring more to, just the way it was shot and everything, or
yeah, I don't know how much of it was supposed to be just feeling slow motion or was actual slow motion. It just felt like it was dwelling on that entire touch and maybe the over-emotional state of her face while the touch was happening, possibly from my perspective. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. And there's also like the perspective of like for some people when that moment happens, it does feel like time slows down because their brain is so hyper-aware.
That I totally get. But yeah, the look on her face, though, like I said, complete and total Herbal Essence commercial. Any second there... And I'm trying to put this as politely as I can. Nobody else is going to know what that is. I'm glad you guys at least understood what I was talking about there.
Yeah.
YouTube is your friend.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely something to... It's one of those places where...
It's starting to feel like I'm the only one that was bugged by this, so... Which is honestly, it feels weird being the guy who is bugged by this. I'm usually the guy that's looking down on somebody else for being bugged by this. So,
do you think anything has to do with it that you're not a huge fan of her character that much?
That probably is a decent chunk of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, there's nothing wrong with her or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
I kind of wonder if that too, since it's...
Yeah. Since you don't necessarily enjoy her as much as a character per se.
I feel like we're talking about fruit now. you don't really like persimmons now, do you?
doesn't quite ring true for you or something like that. I don't know. But something that does ring true and that we should all be invested more in is art, and potentially you might be interested in art and food. Downtown Mountain View's Art a la Carte kicks off the summer festival in style on April 30th through May 1st from 10 to 6 p.m. on the Castro Street. For information, call 650-964-3395 or go to miramarevents.com.
See, speaking of persimmons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
and
true.
Enjoyment.
Yeah. And the art of the shot of how they shot everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, totally. Yeah, I am, like I said, can't wait for episode 5. So excited, like, because
are you going to go home and watch it, like, first thing you can?
No.
Are you going to have to watch it twice because you'll have forgotten it by next Monday?
No, I plan on watching it on Saturday or Sunday like I usually do.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be fresh in your mind.
Then you don't really care about it that much now, do you?
Slap. I really like this episode, and definitely it was very satisfying in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I liked that they... I'm a little bit surprised that episode 4 looks like we're closing out the Punisher story, but I gotta believe this can't be the end of that story.
I wouldn't think so, but who knows.
Yeah, it's hard to say. So
yeah.
Maybe the entire rest of the series is garbage.
Who knows?
As soon as Femme Raphael steps into the scene, that's the end of it.
Well, speaking of the end of it, that's going to wrap up Watch Party for this week. Tell us your thoughts on episode 4. Did you enjoy it as much as we did? Were you on the same boat with Jason? Like, cue the Herbal Essence commercial at
right.
the end?
Are you offended by Herbal Essences?
But yeah, how can they let us know?
If you want to contact us, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. You can leave comments, like the page, let us know what you think. It's good stuff. We appreciate when you give us your feedback. We love it. And we want more of it.
Yes.
Yes, we do. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack after this short music break. We'll come back with some new releases and the news. All right. We'll be back with more.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
All righty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. We're going to jump into some new releases dropping this week. Here are some coming to the theater. We've got Keanu. Clarence and Rel are cousins who live in the city but are far from streetwise. When Rel's beloved kitten Keanu is catnapped, the hopelessly straight-laced pair must impersonate ruthless killers in order to infiltrate a street gang and retrieve the purloined feline.
Wow.
Like you do.
There's also Mother's Day. That's coming up pretty soon, so it seems like it would be a good idea to put a movie about Mother's Day out around
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, you know.
Clever.
The celebration of mothers everywhere invites us all to enjoy the laughter, tears, and love as three generations come together in the week leading up to Mother's Day. Then there's also Ratchet and Clank. You're like, wait, no, you're doing movies that are coming to theater, not video games.
You're encroaching, man.
No, it's Ratchet and Clank. Two unlikely heroes struggle to stop a vile alien named Chairman Drek from destroying every planet in the Solan galaxy. Ratchet is the last of his kind, a foolhardy Lombax who has grown up alone on a backwater planet with no family of his own. Clank is a pint-sized robot with more brains than brawn. When the two stumble upon a dangerous weapon capable of destroying entire planets, they must join forces with a team of colorful heroes called the Galactic Rangers in order to save the galaxy.
There you go.
Awesome.
Speaking of things that are kind of cool, and DVDs and Blu-rays, these are actually in a form of order from least to most serious.
Okay.
Right along, too.
Wow, really? Okay.
On Blu-ray and DVD, did you enjoy the pairing of Ice Cube and Kevin Hart? Well, you're in luck. They made another action comedy together.
All right.
Then there's Krampus.
How are you saying that's not serious? That is serious.
It's seriously something.
Like a heart attack. Mm.
Krampus on Blu-ray and DVD. A family divided will not stand. Also, it might summon the Krampus, a dark spirit that punishes those that turn away from the spirit of Christmas. Then Jane Got a Gun on Blu-ray and DVD. The title does seem to cover quite a bit. The Jane is married to Bill, leader of an outlaw gang, who in turn on his gang, leave him for dead. So Jane gets a gun and goes after the gang. She's assisted by a gunman who sheds no tears for Bill, but will bleed for Jane.
Mm.
Then Backtrack on Blu-ray and DVD. A psychologist makes a startling discovery. His clients are ghosts.
Whoa.
Spoilers. Yeah, to unravel the mystery, he must delve deep into his own history to find the secret that binds them all together.
And you sneak a rhyme into every single one.
And finally, Son of Saul on Blu-ray and DVD. 1944 Auschwitz. That should tell you a lot about why this is at the bottom. And in terms of the,
this is serious.
Yeah. A group of prisoners known as the Sonderkommando are given the grisly task of helping the Nazi troops maintain the machines of death at the camp. One of them, Saul, comes across the body of a boy he claims as his son. When a revolt is planned, Saul aims to carry the body of the boy out so that he can give it a proper burial. Which, if that sounds kind of odd in Jewish tradition, the body must be laid to rest whole and then consecrated for it to be properly disposed of. So, there you go.
Okay. So, in less serious video games, we'll start with Hitman Episode 2. Sapindia, I believe, is the new location. If you're not familiar, Hitman has kind of gone the episodic route, and so they're doing literally level by level instead of releasing entire game. So a lot of people were looking forward to having another level to play with. It's coming out on 26th for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Next up, we have a Vita exclusive that I'm interested to see if it'll end up showing up on other touch-based systems quickly, just because it sounds pretty interesting. It's from the people who made Guacamelee.
Uh-huh.
And so it's really heavy on a kind of cel-shaded style, just like Guacamelee is. But this one's called Severed, and it's trying to be more of an RPG-ish dungeon crawl type of game. So most of it, you're first person, but here's where I'm probably going to lose a lot of you. It's sort of like Fruit Ninja.
Fruit Ninja RPG?
Yeah. So you like hack and slash with your finger slashing across the screen. And it feels like there's room for that to be a really cool experience. But it also sounds incredibly oversimplified for an RPG. So I don't know. I feel like I need to experience it. Next up, we have the actual physical collection of something that I thought was a really big deal. So I'm hoping this gets it in more people's hands in a physical way. And that is Tales from Borderlands, a Telltale game series. Also coming out on the 26th, as well as the last one. This one's coming out for the PS4, Xbox One, PS3, and Xbox 360. And finally, we have The Walking Dead Michonne. It was a 3-episode series, and this is the 3rd of the series. And a lot of people have been wondering how it's going to all clean up, because the last 2 episodes were a little bit lackluster for a lot of people.
Hmm.
Well, this one has near perfect scores from a lot of people, so I don't know if it's kind of like the 3rd outing in a movie where they're finally giving the awards out, or if it's just incredibly good.
Man.
But yeah, it sounds like it's kind of the typical Telltale thing, though, is that you're finally going to see all of your choices culminate in very interesting ways. So that's it for video games.
Nice. Well, if you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip.
Find us faster by searching for our call letters, KSCU. And that moves us on to comic books. From DC, it's Batman, number 51. In the wake of the many hard-fought battles that plague the life of the Bat, how does he deal with a night off? From Marvel, it's Star Wars, number 18. The Rebel base has been taken by the Imperium. The prisoner's only hope is a small band of unlikely heroes, led by Leia. From Dark Horse, Aliens, Defiance, number 1. Colonial Marine Zula Hendricks is dispatched with a group of Weyland-Yutani synthetics to collect an alien sample deep in space.
Hmm.
What could possibly go wrong? Yeah. From Image, it's Saga number 36. The description that they gave? Freedom. Ellipsis? Question mark. IDW, it's the Micronauts number 1. A group of lost time travelers fight to save the universe that is divided between science and magic from the grips of Baron Karaza. And in case you don't remember who the Micronauts are, I have linked to a Wikipedia article because I had to look them up too. I'm like, I remember the name, but I couldn't remember what the heck they were.
Oh, okay.
And that moves on to music, I believe.
All right. Wrap us up with Brian Eno's got a new release called The Ship. There's Paging Mr. Prowse by the Jayhawks. And Please Be Honest by Guided by Voices. All right, Let's tease him some news, and then we'll take a music break and come back with the news.
All right, how about this? SpaceX sticks the landing.
Did you just do the whole story?
It's kind of a small story, but in kind of an intro, but we'll have some fun with it. Obama plus googly eyes.
All right.
Okay. Cool.
That and more. Let me come back after this music break here on KSU Santa Clara. Be right back with more Robots Attack.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack. We are in the news. Let's news them.
Alrighty. So, as I said, sticks the landing. SpaceX sticks the landing at sea.
What?
And this happened earlier this month, and I would have talked about it a lot sooner, but I was on vacation. So,
We heard you screaming that from there.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh.
And posting links.
This was, it was so cool. Like seeing like, they had, like there was like 4 or 5 different camera angles that they released the footage for it. And like, you saw there was a shot from the chase plane where you see like the nice descent of the rocket.
Oh, okay.
And then there was a camera on the rocket that recorded the descent, and just it was a thing of technical joy to watch this rocket lands gently on the platform. Like, oh my gosh, it didn't fall over, it didn't explode.
It's so cute. It's how excited he is.
Yep.
But yeah, like, and yes, this is something of a big deal because like this is the first time they've gotten it to land on the seafaring platform. And that might sound like, okay, it's harder. What's the point? It actually could go a long way into making it a more viable, profitable system to get things off of this rock. Because when you need to land back onto the onto a solid ground, the rocket has to, because rockets don't go straight up. They travel in a parabola up into the atmosphere and then just sends their payload and then come back down. So in order to put it back basically where you started from, or like, which is solid land, which is a lot smaller than the surface of the Earth, you have to actually calculate for that, put extra time and effort into repositioning the rocket so that when it comes back down, it lands on the Earth. Whereas with the boat, with the floating barge platform, they can actually put that out where it will be most economical and easiest to put the rocket down, so they can actually conserve fuel, make it more returnable, et cetera, et cetera. So that this is, and it wasn't just an engineering, yes, we did this, ha ha ha, we are now measuring things. Like, no, it's actually like, there's
a little bit of that.
Okay, yes, there's a little bit of that because Bezos shot first by saying, right, yeah, look, we landed ours. Huh?
No,
but like, no, right. Like, but yeah, there's a lot of else things going on, but like, this is, no matter how you slice it, it's really cool that they are actually able to successfully land the rocket on the floating platform, which is not unlike shooting a BB to hit a pebble in the sky. And so hats off to you, SpaceX team. That was fantastic. And can't wait to see what the future holds for...
What happens next for SpaceX? Next. Speaking of next...
Okay, we have sort of just a fun story here.
just for fun.
Yeah, just for the giggles. If you're not used to the combination of VR and high-powered politics, Obama helped give you exactly that at the Hanover Messe Industrial Trade Show in Germany, I believe yesterday. Obama, actually, we have photographic proof that Obama has tried VR. And, of course, like everybody's doing these days, it was a little VR box that somebody had plastered the little googly eyes on. So, yeah, there's some pretty good pictures of a fairly serious president looking ridiculous with a little black box in front of his face with googly eyes.
Googly eyes.
But yeah, it is pretty awesome too, because it just, you can see him going through the entire motions of somebody trying to get used to VR for the first time. It's like, oh yeah, there's my hand. Huh, okay. And the equally awesome thing about it is that since this is Germany and he's, of course, a political figure, he's going to be there with the high-powered political figure of Germany also. And so there you have Merkel next, also trying out the VR. And yeah, there's some pretty good moments here. We'll have all of the links for the pictures so you can enjoy them as I have.
They're pretty choice, I must say.
It is funny though, in the first few pictures of Obama in it, he feels a little bit like a librarian trying to fathom whether this is a fun thing or not. And then eventually he decides, "Oh yeah, it's a fun thing." Okay.
Did they say what he was playing, quote unquote?
Well, that's the thing. It's a brand that I'm not familiar with. And let's see if I can on the
what close sort up, of software he was doing. Like, was it a?
They don't have any information on that. It looks like it's one of the smaller tech demo things for a different company than we're familiar with. It's not Oculus or anything like that. But still, pretty good shots.
It looks, from the picture, it looks like it's based on the Google VR system, the Google Cardboard, I should say. So,
but this looks very official. It's weird. It's equal parts. It looks like it should be official, but it's like an official metal thing too. So I don't know.
Well, it's saying like in terms of like this form factor, it looks like that's kind of what they're basing on. And there is a camera on the outside, so you don't need a glove per se to interact with it looks like.
It looks cell phone based, but not at the same time.
Okay.
It's hard to tell.
Well, speaking of things that are smaller on the outside but bigger on the inside,
do tell.
Oh,
they've revealed the new companion for Doctor Who.
Nice.
Ooh.
And it's actress Pearl Mackey has joined the cast of Doctor Who as Bill, Peter Capaldi's new companion, BBC America announced. Excuse me. Gotta make sure to get that America.
I'm so behind. It makes me sad.
Quote, I'm incredibly excited to be joining the Doctor Who family, the actress said of her first major role in a TV series. It's such an extraordinary British institution. I couldn't be prouder to call the TARDIS my home. There's actually even like a... Because the next season of Doctor Who doesn't come out till next year, there will be obviously a Christmas special around Christmas.
It's a
Christmas special. But
that doesn't sound right at all.
They made a little introductory video of her with the Doctor that you can watch that kind of introduces her character a little bit. Like, it doesn't say any backstories, how she came to join her and that, but you get like a little taste of her personality with the Doctor. So,
okay.
It's worth checking out. You can kind of see.
That's cool.
But yeah, so, you know, with the, Capaldi's also chimed in to express his excitement and have Mackey on board, calling her a fine, fine actress with a wonderful zest and charm who will be a refreshing addition to the TARDIS and will bring a universe of exciting new possibilities to the Doctor's adventures.
Yeah, it's always interesting. It does change the character even quite a bit of the show anytime they swap up the characters.
Yeah. Here's something, though, that doesn't require you to do any swapping of any kind. You can do sharing.
Oh.
But swapping, I guess, swapping stories, maybe.
Okay.
But if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks. You can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Very cool. And, you know, we're talking about... helping animals, helping the planet, helping people get excited about helping other things. The Solar Impulse team, I mentioned them a while back. The main thing, the cool thing that they're doing is they're trying to make a solar flight across the world.
Okay.
Obviously not
starting
all
starting to ring a bell.
Yeah, not all in one go, obviously, because that's
what
be a bit ridiculous. But they got as far as Hawaii on the first three forelegs of the flight.
Okay.
And we didn't hear from them in terms of flying for a while because they had a battery glitch that grounded the team for a while they worked out engineering and repairs and stuff. But now they're back on flight and the team has made it to California.
Okay.
They landed in Mountain View.
That's better than landing in the water.
Much better than landing in the water. And they've...
SpaceX can do that.
Right. That would be funny, like they borrow the barge.
Yeah.
Just have a barge party.
Mm-hmm.
Just us drones.
But the plane team their social media team has been like on fire, like keeping us, some of us abreast of all the things that are going on. The new plane seems the rebuild of the plane, they added some extra monitoring systems into the into it that is so you can like get like a live update of the status of the batteries and the motors and everything that's going into it. And they've been doing blog posts.
Anybody can or like, just they can?
Well, they can, but it's like share, they're willing to share. I think that they might even be an API that you can like ping, like get a GET request. You can like just say, give me the information of, but not send anything back kind of thing. But it seems like everything's firing on all cylinders, although there's no actual cylinders or firing involved.
I saw that one coming.
They've been kind of highlighting like what it is about the Solar Impulse that is different than other planes and kind of, how they're pushing the ideas of technology and the power of flight and using solar energy to do it. It's pretty exciting considering that this is the first like completely solar plane that's been done so far. We've done the solar car races down in Australia and those are also really exciting from a different point of view, but the solar plane's like, wow, this is the solar power thing, like, it might That's actually have a crazy. Future.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up, we're going quite a bit smaller. And frankly, I'm surprised that this isn't one that you snatched up right away. Because it spotlights...
You're referring to Caleb.
Yes.
Just for Caleb. The audience. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm going to say this wrong. The Arduino. Arduino. Yes, that thing. Or those things. So, somebody has come up with an Arduino, right?
Mm-hmm.
Device that, in my view, is just pure genius. Not because it's the smallest, because people are coming up with smaller and smaller versions of this type of thing all the time. But it definitely makes it into something that's very easy to plug together and use very quickly, in that you can take a standard 3-battery AA case straight off the shelf Radio Shack. Mm-hmm. You can plug 2 batteries into it and plug this thing into the 3rd battery slot. Oh. Bam, you have a powered computer.
That is really cool.
That's pretty slick, in my view.
What's Radio Shack?
Right, exactly.
Well, you youngins, when I was your age...
Fry's Electronics, then, I guess. I don't know.
Amazon.com is where you're going to find most of the... Makezine.com, Makershed, is where you can find a lot of the stuff, too.
There you go. But yeah, a fairly standardized case that's just meant to share a battery supply automatically shares the battery supply with this device, which allows you to do all sorts of interesting little programming possibilities for making wireless doohickeys galore mm-hmm. in short order without a ton of extra thought or whatnot.
No, not much muss, not much fuss, but you have a very cool project at the end of
just
it.
Just kabam.
Nice.
So yeah, this device is called... the AA-duino.
Aha, clever.
Yeah. So, yeah. Look for it by name.
Okay, so if you're a cat owner, or you watch a lot of cat videos, or you just see cats out in the world, a lot of times cats are sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
They sleep a lot.
They do that,
A lot of people, you know, would say, yes, cats... tend to sleep a lot.
They're a lazy thing.
Until it's 3 a.m. and then they want out.
Yeah. But there's something
Mine
else.
Mine is
that...
around 12.
Well, there's something else that cats do a lot of also,
mm-hmm.
and that would be stretching.
Oh, yeah. They do that they whole cat yoga thing.
Yep. Well, here are some reasons why they stretch so much. Some of the main reasons.
Is this going to be like a David Letterman top 10 list?
No. It feels good and increases blood flow, says Andrew Cuff, a postdoctoral researcher of anatomy at the Royal Veterinary College in London.
Okay. That's why I do it.
Mm-hmm. Cats sleep between 12 and 16 hours a day, about twice as much as people do, according to Ruben Naiman, a clinical psychologist at the University of Arizona. When humans sleep, the brain paralyzes most of the body's muscles to prevent people from acting out their dreams. The same thing happens to cats during cat naps, which prevents the cat from sleepwalking off the sofa or wherever it's snoozing.
Kind of allows them to do that little twitchy, cute thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once the cat wakes up, the stretching begins. Quote, cats stretch to get their muscles moving again after periods of inactivity, whether they've been sitting still or sleeping. When a cat is sleeping or relaxed, its blood pressure drops. Same is true for people. Stretching can help to reverse that. As you stretch, it activates all of your muscles and increases your blood pressure, which increases the amount of blood flowing to the muscles and also to the brain. This helps wake you up and make you more alert. As the muscles start moving with each stretch, they also flush out the toxins and waste byproducts that build up during periods of inactivity. For instance, carbon dioxide, lactic acid can accumulate in a cat's body, but stretching can increase blood and lymph circulation, which helps to remove the toxins. What's more, stretching readies the muscles for activity. If a mouse scurries by, or, let's be honest, a spider, mm-hmm. talking about house cats, the cat will be prepared to pounce if he or she has already stretched its muscles. Quote, it's good for them to be ready to go at any instant, whether it's a snake, a feather, or something on TV, as the case with many cats.
True indeed.
So there you go. That's why the cat stretch. Not just to, you know, make you go, oh, that's so cute. There's actually a purpose to it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. They might do that in like a little bit too. Maybe they're into
show
that.
Off a little.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, let's see. Things that may not necessarily be cute, but are still super cool. Actually, this plane is kind of cute. Where am I going with this?
Yes, where are you?
Down
where, what
in...
the hell are you
that is a
about?
Very attractive plane, my friend.
Oh, slap it.
I like the orange.
It's a plane, boss, the plane.
I noticed that it's orange. No, the in other places that are outside the United States and many other well-developed nations...
Cute places.
In infrastructure is not always the best, and it's difficult to move things like medicines, which can sometimes be... don't take well to jostling or falling or whatever.
Hell, even our infrastructure ain't that great.
Yeah. Well, a very enterprising group of individuals down in Rwanda have come up with a great new service and a great new way and a way to use emerging technologies like drones,
oh,
GPS,
drones.
And
3D printing.
I'm sure there's some 3D
printed
stuff.
SpaceX?
If they're doing it right, everybody will be printing.
Cats stretching? Will the cats be flying the drones?
When they're doing it right, everybody will be printing.
But yeah, the company calls themselves Zipline, and their goal is to create a style of infrastructure that will help move high-value, high-speed items around the country without the... And they'll drop off... currently, the drones only carry 3 pounds, but they can. That's plenty of medicine for a clinic, per se, or like small objects that need to be delivered quickly and safely. And
2 pound have, baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Drone Express.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well played, man. Sir. Well played.
Gotta get that in. Oh.
But yeah, they have each of them comes with a little SIM card, so they actually respond to the cell towers and the GPS, and that's how they know where to go to find either the. To find where they need to drop off the delivery, and
that's
pretty slick. They're currently up to I think like 50 to 150 pound deliveries a day.
Oh wow!
Wow!
Yeah,
that's official.
So they use a fixed wing drone as opposed to the quadcopters that we normally see because they're a little bit better for distance, like you will have in places like Rwanda. And it flies at around 180 miles an hour. So that's a speedy little thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So, and you can be there within 30 minutes if the location's within 90 miles of the origin point. So it's a really cool idea. It's interesting to see where people are taking these ideas, like the idea of a drone and a GPS and cell signals. It's like, these are all basic quote-unquote modern technologies.
Yeah,
what can we actually do with it? This is a really cool application, and it drops the object at the location with a disposable and compostable paper parachute. So
nice.
Ooh,
yeah,
compostable.
No muss, no fuss, no waste, or very little. So very cool.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if we're going to like all the things that happened in this day in history on April 25th.
Ooh.
We'll have to wait and see. Again, you know, probably lots of stuff happened on April 25th, but this is just sort of a handpick
from
right. The
site that I grabbed.
Oh, handpicked.
So, hey, this is what the site's picked. So.
It's like the dice tower. You drop things in and you get some dice out at the end.
Okay.
So here we go. 1901.
Okay.
New York became the first state to require license plates on cars.
That was forward thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then we jump 14 years later to 1915. British, Australian, and New Zealand forces landed at Gallipoli. Then in 1928, the first seeing eye dog was presented to Morris S. Frank.
Oh, wow.
Huh.
It's quite a while ago. Then we go to 1945. Delegates met in San Francisco to organize the United Nations.
Oh, wow. I did not see that as being the place that they do that for some reason.
San Francisco, man.
Yes. That's where it started, yeah. Or at least one of them.
Yeah. One of the United Nations.
Well, one of the United Nations meetings.
One of the
I'm
nations
sure they had
that
a few
was united.
Of them.
Yeah. Then we jump to 1953. The Francis Crick and James Watson article describing the double helix of DNA is published in the magazine Nature.
Ooh, dino DNA.
Then in 1959, the St. Lawrence Seaway opened to shipping. Then we come to the 90s. 1990, Violeta Barrios de Camargo was inaugurated as president of Nicaragua.
Okay.
Then 2 years later, Islamic forces took over most of Kabul, Afghanistan, after the Soviet-controlled government collapsed.
Okay. Mm.
Then we jump to 2003 to wrap us up. The Georgia legislature voted to scrap the Confederate flag designed from its state flag.
There you go.
Good job, Georgia. Should have done that a little bit sooner, but...
some things... Take the victories where you can find them.
But yes, speaking of victories, we did it. That's the end of the show. Another awesome show. Achievement unlocked.
We scrapped the flag.
But that'll do it for this week's Robots Attack. We want to thank you for tuning in, for participating, and it's still not too late to participate.
That's right. You can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, or if you prefer, twitter.com/robotsattackme. Those are great places to keep up with the updates. We'll announce when shows get moved around or whatever there as well. If you want to keep up with what's going on, the up-to-the-minute stuff, those are the places to go. But if you want the archives, you want to go like, well, how do I go deep? How do I sink my teeth into this amazing confection that is Robots Attack? You go to robotsattack.me. That is our website. It links out to the other things, and it has our, like, what, several years of archives now. It's good stuff.
Yep.
Check it out.
Yep. And if you're an iTunes person, you can find us on iTunes. And
exactly.
We'll probably be on other... streaming stuff at some point, try and get up on whatever's the newest, latest thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we can, I think Google's doing their thing or something.
Yeah, Google Play is adding podcasts, so we'll look into that as well.
So we'll see. Just let us know if it's someplace we are not that you think we should be, tell us where we should be.
We will do our best to make it happen for you.
Yes. All right. Take it easy, everyone. We'll catch you next time.
Raccoon, Baradin, Misto.